141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers get back to winning ways with a 2-0 win against Motherwell, but it came at a cost, with Graham Murty left sweating on the fitness of Ryan Jack ahead of Saturday's match with Celtic. On that game, James Forrest is eyeing the victory which would cap off a great year for the Hoops, and the goal that never was in the Edinburgh derby may have frustrated Neil Lennon, but the Scottish FA and SPFL say goaling technology is simply too expensive. Since it is a Thursday night, Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. If anyone's been on Twitter at Clyde SSB, you'll see that Gordon Dalziel is dressed like he's going husky racing. That's because there's a bit of a heating problem, and he's, you should honestly see it. It doesn't work on radio, folks, but head over to Twitter at Clyde SSB. There is no chance I'm going to be able to take you seriously with that hat on for the next 2 hours. Anyway, good to have you both.
It's not even a joke. It's that cold in here.
It's fine.
You've got your jacket on. Mark Wilson's got his jacket on.
Behave yourself.
It's like the old days at school. We should be sent home.
Not a chance. Plenty to discuss tonight, and we want you to get involved as well. 01419511025, or we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Where to start? It's been a hectic week of football, and plenty more to come, Gordon. Last night there was always going to be a huge focus on whether Rangers could get back to winning ways. They did that, and now there's that in one side of the fence, and on the other side, people not too happy about the tackle on Ryan Jack last night, which may have an impact, of course, on his availability for the weekend.
Yes, he's very doubtful, obviously, after that tackle getting stretchered off last night, Gordon. But you're right, first and foremost. I was there at Rugby Park on Saturday. I thought Rangers' second half were very, very poor. And it was so important for Graham Murty and Rangers to get a good result last night to build up a little bit of confidence going to Celtic Park, which is going to be a very difficult game against, you know, the champions on Saturday. So it was a good victory. It was a well-needed victory after coming off the St Johnstone loss, the Kilmarnock loss. But I think the big talking point tonight will be on the tackle. I know everybody's got their own opinions on it. I thought it was a shocking tackle, Gordon. People say about, you know, he was a bit clumsy. It was late. I thought he knew what he was doing. I thought it was naughty. And it was certainly a poor, poor tackle, in my opinion.
I'm sure we'll get to that on the phone lines. Mark, on a footballing sense, I think it was fairly simple for Rangers last night. It was a must to get back to winning ways, not only because the points total had taken a bit of a hammering recently, but also just with this game round the corner, you always want to get into those fixtures with at least a bit of confidence, don't you?
Yeah, I think it's important, really important for Rangers to win last night, and they didn't have it all their own way, you must say. Motherwell made it difficult for them and probably should have taken the lead with a couple of chances that they had, but you know, they stuck in there and got the goals at the correct time. And you're right, it's always important to go into an Old Firm game with a wee bit of confidence off the back of a win. If they didn't get the 3 points last night, you know, you're looking at getting beat last week at Rugby Park and not picking up full points against Motherwell. And all of a sudden, there's a different look to it when they pick up 3 points. It'll be that wee bit of confidence going in. But they know how difficult it's going to be. I mean, this Celtic team just now have found that bit of form again. Went off the boil a wee bit over the last 3 or 4 weeks. But the last few games, they've been exceptional again.
Let's hear from Graham Murty after that game, shall we? He obviously spoke to the press following the game last night and again today. He says he will give Ryan Jack every chance to make Saturday's game, so he may still make it. He was stretchered off in last night's 2-0 win over Motherwell. Murty says there was no malice in Cedric Keeper's challenge on the midfielder, but Jack is still hurting.
So, yeah, he's in the treatment room at the moment. Currently having some ice and compression, and our physios are taking very good care of him at the moment.
Is there any suggestion that there's kind of long-term damage there?
Or? We don't know as yet. It's too soon to say, unfortunately. And it is very sensitive. It's very tender. He took a sore one last night, so we'll look at him and make a judgment on him closer to the time.
So you're not ruling him out for Saturday?
No. We're having a look at him and saying how he recovers. If there's a potential for him to be involved, then that would be great. If there isn't, obviously we'll be disappointed. But we'll give the player every chance. I think that Ryan slides in to make a pass. The guy goes to block it. I didn't think the guy actually stamped and pushed down. I didn't really put any pressure through the challenge. There was a coming together that is a nasty one, and it's sore. But in regard of intent, I'm not sure there was any there.
Morty admits they will need to be on top form to get a result at the weekend. He calls it one of the biggest derbies in the world and hopes his players can get themselves right up for it.
We've always got a point to prove against Celtic, not just this game. It's just a game. It's the Old Firm derby. It's one of the biggest and best games in the world. So we have to, any time that game comes around, we have to be ready to be at our top level. So let's not talk about what they're doing or past history or this year or that, whatever. Let's just acknowledge it for one of the biggest games in the calendar, full stop. The last thing I want to do is to give Celtic any motivation by telling them they're dropping off a level and really winding them up. What I would like to say is we know that when we perform properly, we can give everyone a game. So, as I've said, regardless of the level that Celtic perform at, regardless of what they try and achieve, we have to make sure that we concentrate on delivering our best performance of the season.
I'm probably stating the obvious here, Mark, and it won't be the first time, probably won't be the last either, but on a purely footballing sense, Graham Murty will be desperate for Ryan Jack to make it, because if you're going to go into a game where Celtic are such favourites, you want everybody available, and Rangers already don't have everyone available. So the next couple of days, I'm sure Graham Murty will be chapping the physio's door every 2 minutes to see if Ryan Jack can make this game.
Well, he will. He'll give him up to the last minute. And you only kind of do that with your important players. And there's no doubt about it, Ryan Jack is an important and influential player for Rangers. He might have not hit the heights that some people may have thought, but in saying that, I think he's still an important part of their team. Someone who knows this league, who's played in this league for many, many years now, and has come up against Celtic many times before, and those are the type of guys you want in the team, and just that drive he gives the team, you know, and that competitive edge. I'm sure Graham Murray will want him in that central midfield going up against guys like Scott Brown and Stuart Armstrong, rather than maybe a younger lad who's not sampled this game before.
Yeah, I agree with that. I said on Saturday, Gordon, I looked at Kilmarnock, I looked at Rangers, I looked at the middle of the park. It was going to be so important. I thought Rangers looked very lightweight on Saturday. I'm not saying Ryan Jack's the greatest thing that's ever popped up at Ibrox, but he does bring the experience of playing in big games, Premier League. He brings a bit of steel with him, bit of experience as well. So I think Graham Murty will be desperate to have him fit and available for Saturday, which I'll find very surprising after, as I say, I watched the tackle a few times, stretchered off. Sometimes when you get into the dressing room and you know, the physios get to work with you, they can get you back very quickly. But I'd be surprised if Ryan Jack trotted out at Parkhead on Saturday at 12 o'clock.
Thomas is a Rangers fan in Barrhead. Thomas, what do you make of last night's victory then? Important to get back to winning ways?
Good evening, guys. It was important to get back in a game. It was a game that we won. It was a game that we just needed grit to win the game, but the 3 points was all that counted. But I'm not so much worrying up about the performance. It's a bigger picture that's a side issue to the game. I've always liked Motherwell historically, and as much as they give Rangers and Celtic a hard and honest game, I think every Rangers supporter's got a soft spot for Motherwell ever since Helicopter Sunday. And I was brought up on a diet of such as Bobby Shearer and Tom Forsyth from Rangers and John Clark and Roy Aitken for Celtic. You know, hard men that never shirked a tackle. But this Motherwell team, and I know I might get pulled up for saying this, I think they're out and out dirty. They're not hard and tough. Some of their stuff is reckless at worst and cynical at best. I'm thinking of the last game that Rangers played in the Motherwell style of play. And even, it's not just confined to Rangers, from what I've heard in the phone-in and speaking to other people talking about Motherwell Celtic, such as the tackling Kieran Tierney and others. It just seems that there's a recklessness and a cynicism about Motherwell just now, which is not good for the game. I mean, I feel that the dangerous play, the tackle, and yeah, the Ryan Jack, the intent is debatable, but the one in Herrera, I just thought, I mean, Herrera's a tall guy, he hardly bent down, and the guy was showing his studs right in his face. And again, I don't know if Herrera's broke his nose, but you could see that he's drawn blood. Putting that on to the broken nose in the previous game, it's dangerous, and I think that it's some of the stuff, and that's the stuff that we know about. There was stuff going on, there was elbows flying everywhere from Motherwell. Cynical pushes in the back, which weren't even subtle. He just pushed in the back. something that's really not good for the game, and I fear that that style of play could cause anybody, whether it's Rangers, Celtic or whoever, to have a career-threatening injury or something worse. The high foot on Herrera, you know, with any, if I had caught with anything harder, that was dangerous, you know, really dangerous.
I just played what Graham Murty thought of the tackle on Ryan Jacks. Just since you brought it up, Thomas, let me play you what Graham Murty thought of the high boot on Herrera, the one that you're not happy about.
He took one in the face. Ball was down quite low. Centre half decided to go for it. It's a footballing incident. It's a sore one. He's got a bloody nose and he's in a bit of pain. But sometimes as a centre forward or a centre half, these things happen. The referee dealt with it. Move on.
Thomas, so I'm guessing. In fact, I don't really have to do much guessing. You're not too happy then with Graham Murty, because he not only did he not think Cedric Kiepre put any intent in the tackle on Jack, he doesn't sound too bothered there about the high boot one either.
No, the Jack one, I agree. I mean, was there cynicism? It's hard to say. And the Jack, I think Graham Murty is listening to his tone, etc. I think he's been very diplomatic and he's got to pick and choose his words. He's new in the job. He doesn't want to make enemies right from day one. That was one of the things that Pedro Caixinha made a mistake. If that had been Pedro in charge, then I think that the attitude would have been different and perhaps he'd have went over the top. But I think he was being diplomatic. But I'm not even talking about those two incidents. I'm talking about throughout the game. There was an elbow just right in front of me on the touchline in front of where the dugouts are, that connected with one of the Rangers players. And you could see it. I mean, I think the foul was given. But again, dangerous. Another connection, it was another broken nose. Pushes in the back, which were not two players going up for a ball and jousting. It was just one player goes up. The other player doesn't even go up. They're pushing in the back. The ones where they're seeing two players going for the ball, you see that all the time. I'm going back to Bobby Shearer. You know, I've been around a while. I was brought up with it being a man's game. Not recklessness, though. There's a difference between a good, hard, strong challenge that maybe moves into a foul. But it's the recklessness of this Motherwell team. And I'm looking at the two Rangers games and other games that they've been involved in, and the refereeing just now is so weak. Yeah, the referee last night did give the fouls as and when. I don't have an issue with that. Some of the time, though, he could have been firmer and even having a word. Whatever happened to you?
Thomas, I think we get the gist, Thomas, if you don't mind, just so I can get the guy's opinion on it. Gordon, Thomas makes a lot of points there. What do you have to say?
Every supporter can have a look at, first and foremost, have a look at your own team. You know, are you telling me over a piece that the Rangers players not out there making tackles that other supporters and other players are not too happy about? I think the big problem with Motherwell is they got all the pats in the back against Rangers in the semi-final because they basically out-muscled Rangers. And a lot of people thought that was too physical. And I think that the Motherwell manager and the players went along with the same attitude. Let's see if they're up for a fight. Now, the verdict after it, and I read it in the papers today as well, that a lot of people come out and saying, well, Rangers did stand up to the fight and they did stand up to the battle. It's a man's game.
I don't like it. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, but the referee's there to referee a game, Gordon. And like Thomas, I grew up with playing with Tom Forsyth and against him in training, and guys like Roy Aitken and people out when tackles were tackles. But I don't think you can just lay all the blame at Motherwell. They play to a certain style of football, which up until the last 7-8 games really suited them. They got to a cup final. They were sitting third in the league. Everybody was giving them all the praise. The crowds were coming back to Fir Park. They've took a bit of a slump just now. By all accounts, it was a fiery game, let's say, but I'm sure Rangers players can handle themselves.
I mean, if Thomas is bringing up pushes in the back, like he mentioned a few times there, you're right, Gordon. What is every team not, you know, guilty of that? And Gordon again's right. I mean, look at your own team. Ryan Jack, I know he's on the receiving end of that tackle, but there's been a number of occasions this season where he's been the one that's dishing out the tackles, and okay, a few got rescinded, but he's been sent off a couple of times. So, you know, there's players in that Rangers team that are physical as well, but they stood up last night and got the result. But I just think Motherwell get a hard ride for this being over the top and physical. that's the way they want to play. But I don't think there's any malice in it, or they go out and try to hurt people. That's just, they've got a group of players who are a tough bunch of players, and they play to their strengths. And sometimes I think when these tackles are shown, it gets a wee bit blown out of proportion.
Mark is in Partick. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you doing? It's just a couple of points I want to ask the panel. It's obviously Steve McClam's left his post with his Israel team today, and obviously Mark Allen obviously wants to make him his first choice. It's just obviously to think what the panel would think about him being the new Rangers boss at the end of the season.
I wondered if we would get any calls in this, Gordon, just purely, you know, putting two and two together sort of thing. Steve McClaren leaving Maccabi Tel Aviv today to return to England was the reason. Can you see anything in that? Is it just a case of putting two and two together, or is that anything you can really see happening?
Nothing surprises me now, Gordon. We look at a championship manager getting sacked last week, and he's now in the Premier League.
Carvajal, you mean?
Yeah, yep. Carvajal. It's incredible. You look at Gary Monk getting sacked from Middlesbrough because style of football was the reason. What did Middlesbrough do? Bring in the worst style of football manager in Britain, Tony Pulis. So nothing will surprise me. I don't think Steve McClaren's in the last few jobs. Nottingham Forest, he was shocking. He's been about the block a little bit, not really been so successful. Went to Israel, as we say, family reasons, maybe come home to England, I don't know. Not been successful. Is he the right fit for Rangers, or is it just a case of Steve McClaren managed England, he's a big name, let's get him in? Because if you go and ask Derby fans, if you go and ask fans that obviously he's worked under, then I think you wouldn't get great reports. But he's got a big name, and I think people like the fact that of big names coming into football clubs. But the thing is, Rangers have come out and made a statement that Graham Murty's a manager to the end of the season. So if that's the case, nothing will happen to the end of the season. So they've still got time.
Funnily enough, Mark raises the point, and then Gordon brought up Carvajal. I think Steve McClaren, looking at some of the reports today, is one of the favourites for the Sheffield Wednesday job, which Carvajal just left. But I did suspect that we would get
manager.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So Steve McClaren is one of the favourites to replace him.
Once something like this happened, Steve McClaren's name was linked with Rangers a wee while back, and obviously people are just going to jump to conclusions. I agree with Gordon again there when he says that because he's been a big name, an England manager, left a post, people think he's automatically good enough for Rangers. Is he? Is he really? We chatted about it on the show last week. Big names down south, are they automatically good enough to come up to our clubs? Some, yeah, no doubt are. But I don't know if Steve McClaren would be the right guy for Rangers at this time.
Okay, it was Danny Wilson who got Rangers off and running last night, and quite a finish it was as well. We're going to hear from him and hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As I said at the top of the show, at Clyde SSB we've got a picture of Gordon DL looking rather wintry because the heating's not on in here. And Robert Connor says, nice to see you're taking in homeless men for the night. Well done. I think that's a bit unfair on homeless.
The problem is I'm only doing it for you guys because you don't want my nose to run.
That is very true, because not only will the heating be broken, we'll have a flood in here as well. So let's move swiftly on. I know lots of you want to get touch about the tackle, the Ryan Jack situation, so plenty more of that to come, I'm sure. But I'm quite keen to find out what you made of the football last night, Rangers fans. Was that a satisfactory performance for you on the back of a couple of difficult ones? Do let us know. 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well. Let's hear from Danny Wilson. He says the win over Motherwell will boost morale ahead of the Celtic game at the weekend. The defender opened the scoring in the 2-0 win and says the players know what is required at Celtic Park on Saturday.
I don't score many goals, and I don't score many as good as that, so I'm happy with that tonight. But I think after the last couple of performances, it was just important for us to get back to winning ways, and we've managed to do that. I thought we were good tonight without being spectacular, and we got the job done, and that's what we set out to do, so can be happy with our night's work.
Boost morale ahead of the weekend as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think we know that we've fell a mile short the last two performances, two poor results from our point of view, but tonight was a bit better. You know, we've got a tough game on Saturday, but we can look forward to a wee bit more confidence now after, you know, the two previous results, because we need to win tonight. I think if you look at the spells we've had, we had two wins then followed by two defeats, four wins followed by two defeats. You know, we've won again tonight. You know, we've got a tough game on Saturday, so like you said, consistency has been a real problem for us. I can't quite put my finger on why it's a problem for us. We need to do better. We need to put longer winning runs together, and even if that, we need to make sure that we don't lose games. So, you know, it's a tough one. It's been a real problem for us all season, probably going back to last season as well. So, we need to work hard. The boys are working hard, there's no doubt about that. We're just falling a wee bit short on certain things. So, we need to try and, you know, put them right, because, like I say, it's going to be really tough on Saturday going there.
Gordon, I think it was a finish that most forward players in the league would have been proud of. Danny Wilson on his birthday as well, perhaps an unlikely goal scorer. I know he's chipped in with a couple, but what did you make of that as an opening goal?
Terrific goal, terrific strike. The one thing I'll say about Danny Wilson, I think he's probably having his best time since he came back in a Rangers jersey. He's playing very well. He seems to be, you know, a certain pick every game now. And it doesn't do your chances any harm when you can add a few goals, and especially that one last night, which was always going to be an important one, the first goal, because Rangers were under a little bit of pressure coming off of two defeats, St Johnstone at home and obviously Kilmarnock away. You've got the Celtic game, the horizon on Saturday. You want to get in with a bit of confidence. So that opening goal against Motherwell last night was so important, but what a strike, I've got to say. And you're right, any centre forward would be proud of that, midfield player or anybody.
No, I agree with Gordon, unbelievable. Reminded me a bit of Gordon Dale and his heyday.
I would never been that far ahead. Never.
Danny Wilson is a strange one for me. I've always rated Danny Wilson as a player, and obviously when he moved down south, I thought he was going to kick on and, you know, become a real stick on and the national team, but just didn't kind of backfire for him when he came back to Rangers. I think he's found it difficult at times, and the fans got on his back a bit, which I sometimes think is a wee bit unfair. But what's Gordon saying there? I think he's going through a good period just now. Goals like that will do his confidence no harm. But Rangers need him and Alves to form a partnership. They need to keep these two guys in the team if they're going to have any success. And it looks like they might just be getting signs of that. But he's right, consistency is such an important thing just now, and they need to get that right if they're going to move on and you know, try and secure second place.
And again, in the case of Alfredo Morelos, Gordon, it was one of those nights where he probably wasn't involved that much, but all of a sudden he pops up with a goal. It's a goal that wraps up the game. He gets substituted off, you know, it's a standing ovation. He feels much better about himself. The fans feel great because he's the one that got on the scoreline. So ultimately, when you're in that position, that tends to be what you get judged on.
Well, yeah, because you can talk about all these. He went 10 games, was it 10 games, Gordon, without a goal? And as a striker and you're playing with a club like Rangers, you're judged on your goals. Nobody remembers the runs into the full-back positions to cut off a full-back or go and track a centre-half back into your own half, sorry. What they'll do is they'll remember when you put the ball in the back of the net. And he was so desperate to get his goal again. He was snatching at a few things. But all of a sudden, he got that goal after 10 games. And you're right, every time he gets the ball, he looks like he looks a finisher. He really does look a finisher. And I think he will be one of the dangers to the Celtic backline on Saturday. If the Rangers can get some supplies to him, he can find the net, the lad. And he's obviously brimming in confidence. And he scored another goal last night again. And, you know, managers do tend to take centre forwards off after a goal to get the standing ovation, to give them a little bit more confidence, look forward to the next game. But he's certainly chipping in with a few now. I think he's top goal scorer in the Premier League.
He is,
which
indeed
is not a bad feat.
Okay, Jamie is in Thornley Bank. Jamie, what did you make of the performance and the result last night?
Well, first of all, they get the 3 points, and they played no bad football, although they get bullied a wee bit. But the point I'm on about the night is, Rangers have been looking for a new manager, and there's talk about Sam Allardyce, Tony Pulis, McLaren. They've got a guy that stays 10 minutes away from the part in Billy Davis. I don't know why he's not been mentioned, as he's got a great track record down in England. He's done well in the Championship. He took Derby up to the Premiership. He won the most important game down in England, the richest game in soccer, they say. And you hear that ex-players talking about him. Wes Morgan of Leicester says he was the best manager that he's ever worked for. And I just don't understand why Rangers have no went for Mr. Davis.
I think everyone knows Gordon Dalziel. Billy's a close friend of yours. We've spoken about it many times on the show. So what I'll do this time then is I'll throw it to Mark and see what you think of Jamie's call, Mark.
I think listening to Jamie there and listening to Gordon, I've spoke to Gordon a number of times about Billy Davis. Managers, I think you have to look at managers and look at their stats. You know, going back to again being a big name, for me, doesn't it really wash that much? You know, being a big name's great, but you've got to have something to back up with. Billy Davis is certainly one of those guys that when you look at his stats, you think, well, he's been successful everywhere he's went. So why would he not be a good fit for Rangers? I don't know. You tell me, is his name not glamorous enough for some Rangers supporters? You know, you think they would look for a guy, like I say, who has been successful, who's managed big teams and big games and also big players and characters in a dressing room. And you look at him and you think, well, he's done it. But because somebody's maybe a more glamorous name, Rangers fans are shouting for them. It doesn't make sense to me that. I would rather have a manager at my club whose success rate was very high at high level than somebody whose name was a bit more glamorous.
Mark, I think's right. Sorry for interrupting. A lot of people say, well, it's only your friend. But he's right in the management. Have a look at stats, Gordon. And when you sit down, doesn't matter what you think of Billy Davis a person, you sit down, you have a look at his stats. His stats are incredible. 6 playoffs, taking Derby to the English Premier League in 11 months. Everybody that's worked under a tong about him, go and have a look at every club he's managed and have a look at every manager that's come in after him has never beaten his record, which tells you he's very, very good at his job.
Jamie, we keep coming back to comments made by Dave King after the AGM saying that they had already looked at managers who are out of work, and obviously Billy Davis falls into that category. And in Dave King's mind, that basically they weren't up to scratch. So does that not suggest to you that those types of people are not going to be pursued by Rangers?
Well, I think Mr. King's got it wrong. As Mr. Dale said there and now, Billy Davis' records are brilliant in football. And he's an ex-Rangers player. When he left Rangers, when Graham Souness was there, Graham Souness wanted to buy him back, to bring him back to Rangers, so he must have thought he was a player. And I mean, as Gordon Dale said there and now, the teams he's been with, Notts Forest, Preston, Derby, they've all done well, and I just can't understand why the wee guy never gets mentioned, because he is a top class manager.
Okay, thanks to Jamie, the Rangers fan in Thornleybank, for his thoughts. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson. He says he's looking to add 2 new strikers in January after the 2-0 defeat to Rangers at Ibrox. The Firth Park boss was frustrated by a lack of cutting edge at the top end of the pitch and says it'll need to improve if they want to climb back up the table.
The message to them is it's not a huge game on Saturday for them, you know, and because there's no hiding place. They have to step up. Certain people's form have dipped, you know, probably since the cup final. We've had injuries, yeah, we've had injury problems, but that's why you have a squad of players. And some people have just been nearly there, not quite good enough. And I have to say, Tans was our bright spark. He was the one player that I thought, yeah, make something happen. The rest of the 4 players were nearly there. They nearly got in front of people. They nearly had shots on target. You know, they nearly held it up. So Tans was the one bright spark. But his chance, as you say, just before half-time, he usually tucks away. And that's when you come to places like Ibrox, you have to take them chances. Well, as I said, we were definitely looking for one to replace Louis on the budget we have, and the finances. That's not an easy task, but we have got people we're speaking to. But I think certainly we need 2. You know, you're judged at what you do at the top end of the pitch. That's why they get paid the most money. That's why they command fees at every level. And people haven't just quite stepped up to that. So for me, I definitely need 2 strikers and, you know, another defender.
Are you getting any of the money to spend from Louis?
Yeah, listen, the board will back me as much as they possibly can. We're a club that get 4,000 people, you know, so there's a running cost of the football club as well. I can assure you, we spent £10,000 on the whole squad. That's the only transfer fee we spent. So we won't be spending lots of money. You know, we have to be prudent with what we do. We have to search the lower leagues. We have to look at the Championship in Scotland and the lower leagues in Scotland. We've got targets. We've got three or four targets up front. We've got three or four targets, and it's just about getting them over the line.
Stephen Robinson there, talking about his strikers, and obviously the question is going to be, how do you replace Louis Moult? How do you do that, Gordon? It's easier said than done. And I must tell you, maybe it's just me who's a bit soft, but I thought it was quite awkward last night. I'll let you in on the way this unfolded. So this is the Ibrox press room. Stephen Robinson is sitting there slating his strikers. Whether he realised or not, Alex Fisher, one of them, is already in the room. He's waiting to do his next interview. Oh. he's got his head down. He's just looking at the ground. And then someone actually even uses his name and says, I mean, Steve, are you disappointed in guys like Alex Fisher that you've brought in and, you know, haven't managed? And I turn and the guy's just standing there, just staring at the ground. But listen, I'm pretty sure
he heard it in the dressing room before his manager came in.
He would have read it in today's papers anyway. But I just thought it was quite awkward the way it played out.
We're guys that are regular attendance at Fir Park when we can, and we know that Louis Moult's a big miss. But you just can't depend on one player. He has been a terrific striker for Motherwell. Unfortunately, he's injured just now, and obviously going to pastures new, and we wish him all the best in that. I think the Motherwell manager's right. Since the cup final, they've really went downhill. Not won in the last eight. They don't have that same, what do I call it, energy, the way they would go about, you know, teams and close down and be in their faces and play a certain style. They don't seem to have that. They now, they're lacking a little bit of confidence. They're getting into a big, big game on Saturday, the Lanarkshire Derby. And it's fantastic that I'm looking forward to two derbies in one day, because the minute I leave Celtic Park, I'm going straight along there. So it's a big game for him, and he's really got to get back into winning ways, because the more and more you keep losing, that becomes a habit as well, and they've dropped down the league.
Max is in Cambus Lang. Hi, Max.
Hi, how you doing, Pat?
Not bad. What's your point tonight, Max?
Mark mentioned earlier on about the partnership between Danny Wilson and Bruno Alves need to be sort of more gelled together. This is just my opinion, by the way. I totally disagree with that. I think Bruno Alves is a wasted space at Ibrox. He's not had a real good game since he's been here. I thought he was poor last night. That's the audacity to make him captain as well. But as I say, this is just my opinion. What's the panel's opinion on that one?
Gordon, you certainly watch Rangers relatively often. Max is not happy with what he's seen from Bruno Alves so far. What about you?
I can understand where Max is coming from. I don't think, for the big reputation and obviously the big money that he'll be receiving, that he's been the leader, if you know what I mean. But the one thing that I think Mark's talking on is, when you're out in the park there and Danny Wilson is playing alongside a guy who's had the career that Alves has had, you know, even in training, dressing room, before they go out, having a chat positional wise, I think it's no coincidence that Danny Wilson's probably having his best spell. And I know that you can say, well, Alves has missed a few games, but the games that Alves is there, I think Wilson looks more steadier with him beside him. Yeah. Because I think that even talking to him, helping him, putting him into positions and you know, the conversations that they must have, you can only gain with experience like that beside you. Whether Max or the Rangers fans think that Alves is doing enough personally, then that's their opinion. But, you know, I think if you ask Danny Wilson, he'll be the first to admit Alves is helping him.
I think, Max, in my opinion, it's Rangers' best bet. You know, going with those two, if you look at other options, I know Alves hasn't been outstanding every game, but if you're wanting Rangers to have any success, in my opinion, those two are your best bet at centre half. And Gordon's right, Danny Wilson is playing a bit better, but I just think having Alves there with his experience would serve Rangers better than another. I mean, off the top of my head, I'm even struggling to think who would you bring in there to replace Alves?
Well,
if
you've got Bates at Kilmarnock.
Yeah,
The basic Kilmarnock that didn't particularly, you know, he's not ready for that.
Yeah, Max, would you rather see someone else at Rangers take the place of Bruno Alves?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Young Bates was okay, he's not fantastically brilliant.
Even Ross McCrory is now playing in midfield, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's doing okay. Young Bourgeois came on last night. I thought he did well when he came on. Though he was a wee bit losing a cliche, Barry Ferguson-esque, as in passing the ball across the way and back the way, never really going forward with the ball. But however, when he got the ball, he was doing okay with it.
Yeah, you know? Max, you look at the two centre-halves, Bates and Cardozo. That's the two that's going to challenge Alves. Alves for me all day.
Okay, we're going to hear from James Forrest, who's looking ahead to Saturday's game, and that's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's quickly get back to the phone lines and speak to Danny, who's a Celtic fan in Royston. Hi, Danny.
Hi, can I speak to Gordon DL, please?
We're both listening, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Gordon. I haven't spoken to you for years and years.
Okay.
No, if you mind, my wee team, your wee team.
Ah, yeah, Danny, I do. How are you?
Aye, not bad, but this wee Celtic up-and-coming defender I've got, Christopher Ayer.
Yeah.
Rangers well enough to gamble to
game his
game Saturday.
Danny, funny you should say that. I was speaking to Mark. He was at the Aberdeen game on Saturday, and he was raving about how good he was. He's still what 19, and he's went into, you know, centre back, and Brendan Rodgers has put a lot of faith in him. And, you know, he has come out and said that he has no fears whatsoever. He's thrown him into this game on Saturday, and that's a great confidence booster for a young lad when your manager's coming out and saying that about you. So I expect him, like Mark, to play against Rangers, and it'll be interesting to see how he does. He's still learning his trade, but he's in there. He's got an opportunity now because obviously there's going to be a bit of competition for the places at centre-half. But he's holding the jersey just now, and if he goes and keeps the performances up, you know, to the level that he's doing, then he's going to be hard to be removed.
The thing that struck me in the Dundee game, Mark, and I know there's a case here to say, well, he wasn't tested too much defensively, but the thing that struck me was just how keen he was to step out with the ball. Yeah. Any chance he saw, it seemed something that he deliberately was, you know, was trying to do every time he could.
Well, it's a trait that the Celtic supporters like. Your centre half being able to take the ball forward and engage, you know, other midfielders, and he's got that power just to stroll by them. So I was at the Thistle game, and he did it near the end of the game. Got the ball on his 18-yard line, drove all the way to the opposite 18-yard line, picked a pass, done the exact same against Aberdeen, and there's just confidence oozing out the boy. I was thoroughly impressed with him at the weekend. I think when you come up against a striker like Adam Rooney, who's hugely experienced in this league, scored loads of goals and batters centre halves about left, right and centre when he comes up against him in the league, and the young lad stood up to him, won majority of headers, looked strong, didn't let Rooney bully him, and he looks full of confidence just now. I think, I may be wrong here, but somebody might correct me, I think he's only conceded when he's played in his games for Celtic, I think there's only one goal's been conceded when he's been in the back four, and that was that one against Thistle. So I don't think he can be left out on Saturday. Yeah, I think he's a certain to start.
Gordon, can I come back in, please?
Absolutely.
Aye, thanks, Gordon. Mate, see this big German guy we signed here?
Marvin Compere.
Aye. By the way, I think him and that young boy, that'll be a future centre-half in next season coming up. We've got rid of the Boyata, bomb scare, Simovic, bomb scare. They've done as well at the time. So times are going on. You know what I mean? That's for now. To me, anyway, I think that'll be our next two, Joe. Me too. Happy days again.
Okay, thanks to Danny and Royston for his thoughts on Christopher Ayer. Let's hear from James Forrest. He says a victory against Rangers on Saturday would cap off a great year for the club. The winger says he's been pleased with his performances of late and hopes he can make an impact at Celtic Park at the weekend.
It's incredible, like players, like staff, like fans, everyone. And as you said, it's been a great first half of the season. Like, we've hit all our goals so far, and obviously to finish it off on Saturday would be really good to get a win. I think it was the same, but then obviously we're still in Europe still after good. Christmas, yeah. So obviously that's a big bonus, and that's a push once we come back. We know we've got like still European football to look forward to, and yeah, as I said, we've got one last push on Saturday, and we'll give it our all. Yeah, Rangers have got good players, and we know it's always going to. We're not always going to beat them, but a couple of goals, it's always pretty tight when you play Rangers. Like for 90 minutes, it's a hard game, and no, we know that game. But the boys have been confident in performances last few games, and we'll take that into Saturday.
I've got to say that I think James Forrest has been fantastic. I watched the game against Dundee on Tuesday, and his overall play. I was watching his movement. I think 2 years ago, James Forrest just played up and down the right-hand side. Gone. He just played as a right-winger, very disciplined, up and down. Now under Brendan Rodgers, and especially the way they play this season, his movement, he comes in the field, he causes problems, he gets in between the lines, he gets turning at defenders, he's just fully confident, he's added goals. I think James Forrest is having his best ever season with Celtic.
Kevin's in Croftfoot. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing, lads?
Not bad, you?
Yeah, not bad. What it is, I'm actually phoning up because I seen the rumour the day Stephen Caulker's been released by QPR and again linked with us.
He certainly has been released by QPR, and it's a name, Mark, that's been linked with Celtic for a long time.
It has been. As soon as I saw it come up there, that was my initial thought as well, that surely Celtic must be interested. And then I start thinking, well, I wonder if that, you know, ship sailed. I wonder if they had shown interest, but it's went on too long where compares now come in. You've got Ayer, Boyata, Simonovic, Sviatchenko. You know, you've got a lot of players there vying for that position. So I just wonder now if it's a wee bit too late for Stephen Caulker. I've no doubt that he would love to come to a club like Celtic. I'm not sure it's going to happen now after Celtic signing Compere last week.
Kevin, is that something you want to happen? Is that what you mean by calling in tonight?
Yeah, I think the boy's got a wealth of experience. He's got an England cap. He's still in his mid-20s. I can see either Boyata, Sviatchenko or Simeonovic. I can see two of the three of them leaving. I don't think Rodgers rates them, and it's all we've got now.
I had a look earlier on today because I knew that this would come up. Stephen Caulker, Gordon, The pedigree is obviously there. I mean, the guy's moved for £8 million in the past, played for some big clubs. But I just wonder if his recent career, how much that comes into it. I mean, he's played 30 games in the last three seasons. You know, this season, he's only played four times, 14 the season before, 12 before that. And before anyone says it, I know he's had personal problems, and well done to him for speaking out about that in the summer and some of the demons he's had to battle. So hopefully he's over that side of things. But I wonder if that side of it, how much that comes into the thinking.
Well, you've got to look at a player that you're signing and say, right, okay, how many games has he played? And you've touched on it, over 3 years, 30 games, 10 games a season, it averages it out. That's very good of me to work that one.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm right on it.
Is this countdown or super scoreboard?
That was your old Yale High School kicking in there. But I agree. I look at what Mark was saying, listening to Mark there about how many centre halves. So Brendan Rodgers would need to ship one or two out to bring him in. Everybody seems to be jumping on the bandwagon about Boyata. You know, he's not good. I quite like him. I think he's got room to learn. I know he's not having the greatest time. I know that sometimes he makes those mistakes, but I just think that with a little bit of patience, I think he will be okay. I don't see him leaving Celtic. I really don't. Mark might be different opinion, but I don't see him leaving Celtic. I think Brendan Rodgers sees something in him.
You know, you're going to say about games, and when you said that there, Gordon, one thing popped into my head. Scott Sinclair, before he came to Celtic, I don't know what his stats are, somebody might tweet in and tell us, but he hadn't played a lot of games in the previous, well, I don't know, two or three seasons before that. Brendan Rodgers takes a gamble. Okay, he had to shell out a wee bit of money for him, but he comes and he's absolutely terrific. So I think if you're a good enough player and you've played at a high level, such as Caulker has, I don't think he'd have any problem. Although he's only played four this season, I don't think he'd have any problem coming up here and fitting into the side. It's whether Brendan Rodgers thinks they need another player in that position.
You want to make another quick point, Kevin? Come back in.
No, that's fine.
That's you sorted. Good man. Thanks to Kevin in Crawfoot for that call, talking about Stephen Caulker being released by QPR and a potential link to Celtic.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It's just before 7 o'clock, and that means the time is now. If you want to play Beat the Pundit, go and pick up the phone. Dial 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. Dial it right now and you could play Beat the Pundit against Mark or Gordon after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Now, what about the big talking point, or the other big talking point, should I say, from last night? The Edinburgh Derby. It wasn't too old when we had what we thought was our opening goal. Ollie Shaw thought he'd scored, and it didn't count. So I really want to get into that one, because this is one that brings, it almost brings all football fans together. It doesn't matter if you're a Hearts or a Hibs fans, everybody likes a good old moan about goal line technology and all the rest of it. So we're going to get into that very soon, but before we do,
Beat the Pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
7:05, as always, it is Beat the Pundit time. Charlie is in Bears Den. He's tonight's contestant. Hi, Charlie.
Hello, how are you doing, Gordon?
Not too bad, how are you?
Aye, good this evening, yeah.
Good stuff. Are you feeling in confident mood? You've had a wee break over Christmas, charged the batteries and ready to sweep Mark Wilson or Gordon DL aside?
Well, we'll see.
Give it a bash.
Whoever I get.
They always say it's a bit harder when you're actually on here and the clock is ticking down. But let's toss the coin anyway and see who you're going to play. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Gordon DL, who, by the way, is still wearing that ridiculous hat.
Yeah.
I struggle.
Is that a film? Grumpy Old Men, is it? Have you seen that?
Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck. That's a great film.
Because actually, I do struggle to take you seriously often, but particularly with that hat and just the way you're staring at me with a big jacket. Right, yeah. Anyway. Heads, it's Mark Wilson. Tails, it's Uncle Buck. And it is heads. You're up against Mark Wilson, so
right,
you can just adjust your bonnet while we're.
Two Celtic men.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to say that about Gordon there. Right, okay, let's give Mark some Clyde 2 in his ear so that he can't steal your answers. Right, Charlie, it's 30 seconds head to head. You can pass. Here's your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Cheers.
Who's currently the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Chris Buck.
Carlos Carvajal has been named the new manager of which English Premier League side?
West Brom.
Name either team out with the UK that Chris Boyd had played for. Who scored the goal that never was, so called, for Hibs last night?
Ollie Oliver.
Who's returning to Aberdeen after leaving in the summer?
Nijmegen.
And the Carolina Panthers are associated with which sport?
American football.
Okay, bring Mark Wilson back. Are you with us?
Me? Yes.
I'm waiting. Who else? Ready?
I don't know. Are you chatting to there?
Unbelievable.
You're right across from me. You can see him, will you?
I mean, I don't mean in body. I mean,
all right,
you're
in spirit.
You're now listening to me again. Right.
Yep.
Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Who's currently the top scorer in the Scottish Premiership?
Morelos.
Carlos Carvajal has been named as the new manager of which English Premier League side? Name either team out with the UK that Chris Boyd played for.
Portland Timbers.
Who scored the goal that never was for Hibs last
Ollie
night?
Shaw.
Who's returning to Aberdeen after leaving
Niall
the summer?
McGinn.
The Carolina Panthers are associated with which sport?
American football.
And who scored the only goal for Man City against Newcastle last night?
Aguero.
Okay. You see, Charlie, the key is to go as quickly as you can. He got through a few more than you, but listen, that doesn't necessarily mean he won. You have to get them right.
That's shocker.
Yeah, no. You have to get them right. Let's go through. Well, I can't argue too much. Anyway, who's the current top scorer in the Scottish Premiership? Alfredo Morelos, 1-0 to Mark. Carlos Carvajal has been named as new manager of Swansea, 2-0 to Mark. Either team out with the UK that Chris Boyd played for, Portland Timbers. Mark, you're new stuff. 3-0 to Mark. What was the other one, Gordon? Do you want to give that pronunciation a bash?
I can't even remember.
Somebody in Turkey.
Had Portland Timbers.
Trabzonspor.
Eskişspor, if that's the right pronunciation. So someone will no doubt tell me it's not. But Charlie, you were close. I could see what you were getting at. But it's 3-0 to Mark. I think you settled down after that, Charlie. You got into the swing of things. It was Ollie Shaw who scored the so-called goal that never was last night. You got that right. You both did. You both got Niall McGinn returning to Aberdeen. You both got the Carolina Panthers associated with the NFL. Mark, you got on to the last question. Who scored the only goal for Man City?
Sterling.
It was Raheem Sterling. So like I said, Charlie, it was the old football cliche of too little too late. You got three on the board.
Thanks very much.
But Mark already had three, so it was a 6-3 win for Mark. Thanks for taking part.
No, thank you. Thank
you. Lucky, Charlie.
Thanks
to
Charlie. Yes, same to you, Charlie. Mark Wilson, every week, who takes it more seriously than any other pundit, is absolutely delighted with himself.
Unlucky Charlie. I've never seen him do so happy.
I thought Mark's not like that. I thought he was quite serious there.
Yeah, no, I was sincere. Unlucky
no,
Charlie.
No, you've never been sincere.
Nah, Mark's all right, honestly. Anyway, let's hear from
cheers. Thanks.
A ringing endorsement there. Let's hear from Neil Lennon, shall we? I think his words will probably sum it up better than any of us can. So he says decisions like last night's are making a mockery of the Scottish game after they were denied what turned out to be a clear goal at Tynecastle. The Hibs boss was furious with the decision by the assistant not to award the goal and says they must look towards goal line technology. We all know the story. The game finished 0-0, so it would have had quite a telling impact. Here's Neil Lennon.
It's a goal. It's well over the line. It's a goal. Everyone could see it. And you can tell by the way the ball comes out at the angle again. It's not hit the bar, gone straight down and out. It's come here and back out. The spin's taken it back out. It's a big, big decision that's gone against us again. I think of the handball against Rangers and then tonight. You know, it's costing us important points. And we were by far the better team for long periods in the game on a very, very difficult pitch. So I'll pay tribute to my players. They're outstanding in very difficult circumstances. And I should be sitting here talking about a great win, great 3 points. It's a goal. It is a goal. The goal's a goal. You know, and I know we're all about video referee and Sky are here. Everyone, if the fourth official goes and look at a monitor, you can give Stephen a shout and go, by the way, that's a goal. Well, I'm sitting down and I can tell by the way the ball's come back out, it's clearly over the line. He said that he couldn't get a good view of it and the linesman didn't get a view of it or didn't see it. The linesman got every offside in the first half. Didn't get that one, though. The most important one. And, you know, these could cost us at the end of the season. You know, we should be sitting here 3 points, fantastic, well hard fought derby win. I don't know what you can do, and you know, we talk about video assistant referees and we haven't got that in the game. But this is a huge game. You know, it's live on TV and it's making a mockery of the game sometimes, I think.
You can see his frustration. I mean, when you get such decisions like that, two in close proximity to each other, the handball against Rangers, which, you know, could in theory have, you know, cost his team points. You never know how the game's going to pan out after that. And then you get this one and another huge game. You can see why Neil Lennon's reacting the way he does. And there's no doubt.
Are you telling me that Neil Lennon, since the start of the season, has never had a decision?
No, of course.
But hold on.
Of course. That's why
these discussions end up going, you know, let's not count up decisions. Let's talk about last night's in isolation.
Yeah. But last night's is simple. He's totally right what he's saying. It's a goal. Now, there was a view from a different camera angle that showed the linesman's potential view. There was a player maybe blocking him. But he should still be able to tell. Now, I know the argument, he's got to be sure if he's going to give it. I mean, us watching on the TV.
Did you know the very first time you saw it without replay that it was in?
Yeah, I was going to say, I know it's easy for us watching TV. As soon as it went in, I said, that's a goal right away. So I could see it. Slightly different when he's pitch side. We've got an elevated view from the camera angle. But come on, it's for me, he should be able to get that right. There's so many officials now, they should be able to get that right.
Right. I agree with Neil Lennon, they were a better team, they should have won the derby. Let's say that. I feel for the officials. The referee is looking for help from the assistant referee. I don't think he's in a good position, Mark, if you look at him. And you're right, the old cliche kicks in. You cannot give that unless you're 100%. And it's okay for us to sit in the comfort of our armchairs and look at the TV, you know, the angles that we're getting for the TV. But he's got that split decision that hits that bar and, you know, it hits, well, it does get in, it hits the back of the line, comes back out. But I feel for them, I really do. And it's very easy just to sit there and say, well, it's a goal and we should have got the 3 points and whatever. He didn't have a good position, Gordon. First and foremost.
But is that not a problem then? Because his job is to run that line, to get himself into a good position.
Yes, yes.
Now, when you look at the goal,
but when
the
he's
way
not
it
in
came
that
about,
position, Mark, he cannot. He's obviously not been
100%. So how can you feel sorry for him if he's not in the right position?
Because
that's his job.
Everybody can. You can find yourself in. But the game is that quick now. You can find yourself in the wrong position. Referees do it. Yeah. Officials do it all the time. They're only human, Mark. You can't just keep going, well, we've sat and watched it. How many times over a piece of the season and years have we sat and debated and had to watch something 3, 4, 5 times, slow it down and then make a decision? These guys get a split decision. And I think that, yes, we all agree the ball was in the back of the net, but I think we're being a bit of very hard on the officials.
Well, as always, this stirs up the goal line technology debate. The Scottish FA and the SPFL basically saying today it's too expensive, so certainly not on the horizon anytime soon in Scottish football. We'll get to that in a second. We'll look at that in a bit more detail once we speak to Damon, who's a Hibs fan in Edinburgh. Hi, Damon.
Hi, mate. How are you doing?
Not bad, you?
Hi, Pam. Well, I'm a bit disgruntled, but you know.
I can imagine.
Yeah, we don't need to spend money on goal line technology. We just need the fourth officials to have a wee bit more authority. It would have taken a split second for them to turn around and say, guys, you've not seen it, but it's went in. Same with penalty decisions.
A split second
for them to turn around and say, listen, guys, you've got it wrong. There was a dive, or it's over the line, or it was a penalty when you've not given it.
You mean in terms of having watched this on TV again, Damon? Is that what you mean?
Right. Where I'll agree with Damien here is about the ball being over a line. But you'll have a situation, Gordon, where the fourth official will say, for instance, what he was talking about, it's a penalty kick. A referee can come over and say, I don't agree with that. I don't think it is.
This is different. Yeah, so how can all the Hibs players are celebrating, well, all the show is celebrating, all right? Mm-hmm. You've got Neil Lennon and Gary Parker on the touchline celebrating, who's standing next to the fourth official. Now, you've got a referee who's closer than them, and you've got a linesman who's in line with the goal. And none of those three can see it, but the players on the pitch can see it. The guys in the dugout can see it.
Well, to be fair, players will claim for everything.
I know you're going to say that,
you can't use that as a...
I'm not talking about that, Mark. I'm talking about...
Damon's suggestion that we use
the fourth official for penalty kicks and everything.
Because Damon, let me tell you the sort of the official line on this, if you will. Because as I'm sure you're well aware, we do not have VAR at the moment. I think there are 14 countries that use it at the moment. We're in the midst of a trial period which ends next year. So see, when it comes down to that, if we want to embrace VAR, and I'm not talking about goal line technology here, because that's not what you're asking. You're asking about video assistant referees. If we decide to do that, we're going to have to go all in on this. It's not a case of, oh well, this game is on TV, so let's go and ask someone. We're going to need the 6 cameras, we're going to need a control room, we're going to need a video assistant referee. So that is all going to have to be put in place. It's not as if just because a game's on TV we can then go and ask the fourth official. So that day may well come, but we're going to have to make sure we've got the infrastructure there to do it.
Okay. My heart goes out to Ollie Shaw, a young kid who could have scored a winning goal in the Hibs-Hearts derby. So that's what I'm more concerned about. I'm not bothered about beating them. It's Ollie Shaw. He must be heartbroken.
That's a fair point.
Here's another point on that then, on the same side. Stevenson, was that a handball in the box? The one where John McGinn takes it away from him? I think that's a penalty kick.
Yeah, it's more debatable than a certain goal.
These went
over the line, it was a goal. Penalty, don't know, maybe.
These are different things because, as I said, some people are talking about VAR, video assistant referee, where you refer a decision. Other people might be talking about goal line technology, which we have in the English Premier League. You've all seen it before. The referee checks the watch and so on. That's the one that our governing bodies have spoken out about today, essentially. So the Scottish FA put a sort of statement out saying it's maintained a consistent stance on goal line technology, both publicly and as an important voice within IFAB, the board to make the rules, essentially. We're open to technology that would help deliver matter of fact. So that would be goal line technology, right? Was it over the line or was it not? It's something we would be happy to embrace and support if there was a widespread appetite from our member clubs. However, the blunt reality is technology remains unaffordable, and that is essentially what it's going to come down to. So the rough cost, and please, before anyone corrects me, this is definitely a rough cost, would be roughly £250,000 per stadium. So, and that, by the way, that's just for the technology, because some stadiums may have to be altered, stands may have to be, things may have to be moved around and all the rest of it to comply.
Roughly nearly 3 million, Gordon.
So about 3 million for the top flight in Scotland.
I'm on fire in here.
And then that's the question of how many times in a season would it be used and so on. So whilst last night everyone's screaming for, well, we need it, it's, you can also understand why it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
because our clubs don't have that much money.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's the problem, and it's a shame it comes down to that. Is there another contractor out there that does it for cheaper and can undercut?
Well, that's the thing. There was a bit of competition around this when it first started, because I'm sure you all remember this. Plan's been in place for a few years, goal line technology. It was speeded up. Remember Lampard, the goal against Germany in the World Cup in 2014. So that sort of speeded it up. Certain countries have been able to afford it. We have not. Fairly simple.
And plus the fact, over a season, Gordon, how many times do we discuss this? But then, and I know it's Neil's right in what he's saying,
but
about
at the same time, it could cost you
could cost
a relegation. Or,
yeah, I totally understand. So there are two that, sides. But we can't afford it.
Let's speak to Kenny the Jambo. Hi, Kenny.
Evening, guys. Mark, Gordon, how you doing?
Kenny.
No, listen, it was a goal last night, well and truly. But we're going to end up taking the excitement and the fun and the debate. Everybody's debating about it tonight. I'm chuffed to bits. It didn't go in because it means Hearts have got a wee record in eight goals for so many hours. As Gordon said earlier, it's that split decision that gets the crowd on the edge, is it known? People see things like that. It's happened for years and years, as Gordon said earlier.
Well, I know that's a completely separate argument, Mark. People don't want to take the human element away because they like, I don't say like, that's probably the wrong word, but they accept that this is part of it. Decisions go for and against you. But I think nowadays there is a bigger feeling that when it's matters of fact like that, then it should, if possible, be cleared up.
I get what Kenny's saying. There's nothing better than, you know, coming on here or going to a game and chatting with your mates, or even if you're down the pub and a few of you disagree and things, and it's great conversation. It's what we love about the game. But you're right, I think that the greater technology's getting, and you see it used in so many other sports, and I don't think it's taking the excitement out of any of the other sports it's used. You know, you look at some of the sports that use it, the attention it still draws, and there's still talking points, there's still debates that go on after it, I suppose. And say we did have going technology last night, it'd still be exciting when the referee goes over. I know it'd only last for a split second, but there'd still be a sense of excitement. The referee goes over to check it. And
that is more the video assistant ref you're thinking of. Remember, the goal line technology is the one on the watch that's instant, that you see in the English Premier League.
Yeah, but I don't think it would take a lot away. You know, I think there'd still be discussions that would rage on at the game with your mates and down the pub after it, even if we did have that technology.
Want to come back in, Kenny?
I know. I agree with what Mark's saying there. I'm just feeling that, you know, most of the clubs, I mean, there's a lot of clubs struggling financially. You know, I mean, you've given, as we said last week, about Falkirk pulling out that youth thing, but I just feel we're putting an awful lot of money into, it's took years and years for good reasons to get the stadiums up to scratch and better facilities and that. And it's an awful lot of money for a wee country to provide all these teams and facilities and technology, you know what I mean?
Well, if it comes down to choosing between, you know, keeping your club alive or keeping your youth system going, or for some teams it'll be if they can get another player in to keep them in the league, I don't think there's any choice. Obviously, you're going to pick that. It'd be great, though, if we were as rich as the English Premier League and every ground could just afford it like that. It would be great, but as long as the cost still remains that high, I don't think we'll ever see it in Scotland.
Stephen's on Twitter. He says last night's decision didn't need a replay. It was clear as day in real time that it was a goal. As you would expect, not a whole lot of sympathy out there. Anthony Neal as well: I can't see any excuse why it wasn't given. It was live on TV, so there was more than enough cameras to cover every angle of the pitch. Milan Derby went to the video ref to rule a goal out, and it was the correct decision. We don't have that rule in place at the moment. Maybe one day we will. We're going to get these to a full time teaser coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
It's time to get the full time teaser for Mark Wilson and Gordon Dell. A big thanks to Chris Thornbury for sending this one in. I'm sure lots of you have had a bit of time in your hands, maybe some time off over the festive period. Well, if you've come up with any good teasers in that time, why not send them on and try and catch the guys out? If you've got any to send in, we're at fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. Send them in and hopefully we can try and catch the guys out. This one, as I said, sent in by Chris Thornbury. It says 9 players from the home nations, he's including Republic of Ireland, who scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era. So 9 players from the home nations who scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era. Gordon, you usually need a 7th, 8th, 15th repeat of the question, but are you okay on that one?
I can't even hear you.
Who did you say?
Now?
He's including Republic of Ireland?
Yeah. Okay. So 9 players from the home nations have scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era. So 98 to 2013.
Okay.
Any that spring to mind?
Go on, Mark.
Niall McGinn?
No.
No.
There's a really... Well, who's the top scorer in that era from these parts? You two are having a laugh. You should see the...
Chris Boyd.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Of course. Aye. We're just joking.
He's got 7 hat-tricks in the SPL in that time. Any more at the moment?
Scott McDonald. Oh, no, he's not from home.
This is going to be a long night.
He's no far away from there.
He's only from Australia, yeah, of course.
No, under British rule for a while, Australia. Is that not
good? You should see, and I know this doesn't work on radio, the blank looks that these two are giving me at the moment. Honestly, this could be a long night.
We've got 8 to go.
We'll get them.
Okay, then. We were talking about this goal line technology debate and the incident in the Edinburgh Derby last night. Peter's in Coatbridge. Hi, Peter.
Hi, good evening, panel.
Hello.
I phoned in a few weeks, beginning of November, because I'd been watching a Bundesliga game, and I made the comment then about the video assisted ref, where the referee had awarded a penalty. The opposition team sort of denied it, and he immediately went to the halfway line, at the touch line, spoke to a 4/5th official with a laptop, reviewed it, and awarded the penalty. Now, obviously, if the SFA are saying that's going to cost us like £250,000 per club to bring that in, right, I get that they can't do the whole top flight of 20 clubs in one go because it's cost prohibitive, but surely they're not telling me that goal line technology is cost prohibitive. I mean, that makes our top flight a laughing stock.
Just to be clear...
£20 will get them a webcam out of Curry's.
Yeah, Peter, what you're talking about is video assistant referee, right?
Yeah. No, I'll say that's when I phoned in back in November, December. Yeah. So what I'm talking about now is...
Goal line technology.
You know, the goal line technology, right? And the SFA are now coming out and saying, that's still too expensive. I mean, come on, boys, £20, Curry's webcam, no, stick it up there.
But that's what I'm saying. It's going to have to be... Goal line technology is this system that's approved by IFAB and FIFA and all the rest of it. And I've explained the cost, so around £250,000 per stadium. So I know where you're coming from, Peter, but when the ball travels at a certain speed, now last night maybe isn't the best example of this, so if I can just ask you to think a bit more generally, if someone absolutely blasts the ball off the bar and it comes flying down at the line, believe me, a £20 webcam from various electrical suppliers isn't going to cut it, Peter. It has to be the Hawkeye system or whatever else.
I do apologise for my brand naming there.
I'm only joking.
But okay, well, let's go to the 99 category then and go up a couple of grades of webcam, because you can get a dashboard cam that's full HD. That's, you know, it's full HD camera for £50. You stick one of them on the top corner looking down across the goal line and beam the signal back to someone. I mean, come on, how expensive is that? And you're only talking about one per goal per stadium, so two per stadium, 40 of them. I mean, if they bulk buy them off an electrical wholesaler, they'll probably get a discount on them.
Wait a minute, you're not a salesman, are you? For cameras, can't buy any chance.
No, I'm definitely not, but honestly, I mean, I get that the video assisted referee could be a lot more expensive, and I do get that with the amount of cameras you need to cover the whole park and all the rest of it. But surely, if you know, just a simple system to say, yes, the ball was over the line or no, the ball wasn't, cannot possibly be cost prohibitive to our Premier, and now this is our Premier Football League, you know, the Scottish Premier League.
Peter, I'm going to explain the official sort of response to that. Now, this is not necessarily my opinion. This is, I'm risking a case of shoot the messenger here. I'm just explaining why that is deemed to not be acceptable, right? I take it you've seen the goal line technology working in the English Premier League and so on, and even the Hawkeye and tennis, you've seen the way that works, yeah?
Yes.
So it's a combination of GPS and all the rest of it, so that they know without any doubt whatsoever that the ball has crossed the line. Now, the reason that they don't use cameras for that, now, you've seen it yourself, it's a virtual ball, isn't it? It's a virtual ball and a virtual line, and it shows you exactly where that ball falls.
Yeah.
Now, that is because, and listen, this is just what I'm told by people who know about these things, is that there is a certain speed that if a football is struck at, and when it comes down even quicker off the crossbar, no camera can reliably pick that up. Now, like I say, last night is a bad example because it was a fairly gentle finish from Ollie Shaw. The ball comes down and people can see it, but camera is not considered to be a suitable solution to that problem. And I know I'm stretching it here with some really strange examples, but how about this one, right? Imagine a goalie lies on the ball and you cannot see any camera. Your webcam that you've picked up for $49.99 and it's in the corner cannot physically see if that ball is over the line or not. So that's the reason that they will never use cameras for that type of... That's why goal line technology relies on the Hawkeye system and things like that.
Quite
like
simple,
I say,
it's quite simple, Gordon.
Not really my opinion.
Keep your receipt and get back and get the money back.
Peter, like I say, I'm just sort of passing that on, but does that make sense?
Okay, if that makes sense, then surely in this day and age, it also makes sense, right, that the referee who's got a wireless Bluetooth headset on anyway cannot be speaking to the fourth official sitting in the stand who's got the BT monitor there, or the Sky monitor, or whoever happens to be broadcasting. And I'm not talking about every division, I'm just talking about our Premier Division here, the top 20 clubs, and saying, was that over, was that not?
But that's what I'm saying, Peter. The reason they don't do it is because, and the problem with this is, last night's a bad example. I accept that. Last night is a bad example, but there will be one where the ball is struck too quick, even for the cameras, and when you slow it down, you get that blurred ball. That's why they use goal line technology and not video assistant.
No, I do get that, but that'll still happen. But the other 99 times out of 100, the fourth official will be able to see the instant replay on whichever broadcaster has broadcast it with his Bluetooth headset and say, yes, that crossed the line, or no, that didn't cross the line. And I'm not talking about every incident on the park. I'm just specifically highlighting over the goal mouth here, the 18 feet in between, or whatever it is in between the two goalposts. Yes, that crossed the line, or no, it didn't. Or, alternatively, as you say, the fourth official says, I cannot make a determination from here. At which time the referee has to make a call one way or the other, and his decision stands.
Okay, some interesting thoughts from Peter in Coatbridge on that one. Are you two making any headway with this teaser?
Kenny Miller must be one.
Yes, he's got three hat tricks in the SPL
era. Here's another one for you.
Okay.
Must be Gary Hooper.
When you say must be
Gary Hooper.
Yeah, well done. He's got three as well.
Adam Rooney.
No. Not in the SPL era, so 98 to 2013. Which one? You want to suggest both?
John Hartson.
John Hartson's got five.
Sutton must have.
No.
Don't think.
Not in the SPL era.
Okay.
Yeah.
Billy Dodds.
Oh, good effort.
Nope.
What? You're joking.
Kyle Lafferty.
Nope.
Oh. Okay. Derek Riordan.
No.
Anthony Stokes.
Yes, actually, Stokes. 4 Fulham. Right, we'll get back to that a bit later on. Loads of tweets coming up about this as well. And let's see, we've got the Ginger one. He says it costs around 250 grand per ground to install goal line technology. People are asking where that money comes from. How about the money Celtic have made through their European run? These errors could cost teams to be relegated. A lot of people saying that type of thing as well. 3CSC is on Twitter saying simple. Drew Peacock, why does no one ask why Scottish football will resist technology for as long as possible and why the fans of only one club would support that? Not really sure what Drew means, but he's... Anyway, let's get back to the phone lines. John is in Provenmill. Hi, John.
How you doing, Gordon?
Not bad, you?
Yeah, not bad, Gordon, mate. A couple of points.
Absolutely.
Gordon, I'm on the goal line technology as well, mate. Honestly, you're trying to make every excuse under the sun there, right?
No, John, I want to be very clear. I just want to be quite clear, John. I would like to see it as well. I'm just explaining the other side of the argument, that was all.
Well, you use your logic yourself, right? You, as Gordon himself, you use your logic. You need the goal line technology. See Sky TV, see the cameras. The cameras cost a fortune, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, for anybody, how many times has Sky actually slowed down a thing, mate? A goal, or how can a referee see as well if it's inside the box or outside the box? It's only, they can see that, but they can't see the ball going over the line. Listen, it takes 2 minutes. A lot of rubbish, the SFA or whoever it is, SPEPF, FL, whatever it is, are talking absolute rubbish because they just need to use the camera and tell you that's a goal. That's over the line, that's all it is. Logical. They're total absolute rubbish. And that guy on the tweet there saying about technology and Scottish football, I know what he's going there. Right, but I'm a Celtic fan, by the way. Right, so I'll tell you that now. But what I'm saying is, why not use technology? 2017 they're living in. Are you trying to tell me, oh, it's too expensive to put in? As another caller said, the Premier Football League, and we can't put in a camera, or infrared, or you might say GPS. I mean, GPS in cars are like that now, but whatever, day. It's got to happen, Gordon, because I'll tell you why. Neil Lennon is absolutely right. It's a shocking decision. But the linesmen, I mean, they're boys in your studio, right, Gordon, and who else is there tonight again?
Mark.
Mark saying he knew it was in. About the ball for there. I know he's elevated, I know you're elevated, Mark, right, but I've seen it. But surely, guys, the camera's showing you clearly. All you have to go to a fourth official and say, look, and he's Bluetooth, go and check that for me, will you? And if there's a 50, I don't know, then you don't give the goal, right? And we all know that's actually no conceived, right? It's in a goal. But you've got to use the camera. The camera's there, didn't it lie? Cameras tell you an inch off, it's inside the box or a penalty, blah, blah, blah. So, a lot of rubbish, Gordon.
Yeah, that's the thing, John. I want to be quite clear. I knew this would happen. I would love goal line technology. I was just trying to explain the reasons why the authorities say it can't happen. That's all. Not my opinion.
I was going to say, John, I think we're all agreeing that we'd love it and love to see it. I mean, we're no experts on it really, but I'm guessing there's something a wee bit more complicated that goes into it rather than just stick a camera up.
Well, like I say, the official video assistant ref procedure that we've got in, I think it's 14 leagues or something at the moment, like I say, they're wanting 6 cameras, a control room and so on. So listen, that may well come, but that's the infrastructure that has to be there for that.
Yeah, I guess if it was going to happen, every ground would have to be the same. And is that right? It would have to be the same system?
Well, certainly within the same league, I mean.
Yeah. So you kind of have one club having a top of the range HD camera and the other one's got, you know, a video camera for 1998 up in the wall, you know what I mean? So it'd have to be all the same, it'd have to be controlled. That's what I'm saying. I'm guessing it's a wee bit more complicated than just go to your local shop and sticking a camera up in the corner. As much as we'd love to see it, but
John, as always, I'm sure you know that, you know, the SPFL, you know, that's the club. So what do you do, John, if you go to, I don't know, Hamilton Accies or Motherwell or Partick Thistle or whatever, and they just say, we cannot afford the 250 grand that needs to put the goal line technology or whatever that may be? How do you think we can get around that, John?
Yeah, I know you're saying, if it's not televised, right? If it's not televised, right, okay, they can't afford the camera, whatever, blah, blah. Mark, I know what you're saying, mate, right, about a 50 bob camera. It's not that. We know there's technology that we can actually use, right, for the goal line technology. But listen, there's a camera there. This Sky TV is one of the biggest companies in the world, and their cameras are totally accurate. They slow things down to house floor. We've all seen it, guys. We've all seen it. So all it is saying, that's a goal. So it doesn't matter whatever. The SPFL should just go out, well, you know what? We're going to give this a bash for a season. Have a fourth official. See the guys kind of the woman guy, whatever you want to say, right? See, they're not 100% sure it's a goal. And even I was watching the camp saying, that's not conclusive. Well, then that's fine, we get that. But when it's over the line with a camera for the TV company, you've got to use it.
What if, John, for argument's sake, you've got that's clearly on Sky, and we all could see it was a goal, right? And the week before, say Hamilton were playing Hearts, and Hearts had one identical, but you didn't have the fancy Sky cameras there to pick that up. Do you not think there's a wee bit of injustice if Hearts went, well, we scored one last week, but because it's at a smaller ground,
that's what I'm saying. It has to be the same across the board. That's what I'm saying.
You know, there's less interest in the game, if you like.
Well, Mal, do you think it's too expensive for a size of your country to? I mean, we can spend all sorts of money in players, even to an extent, $100,000. Do you think it's that bad? We put in stands at one point because we're told to put in stands for capacity and all that carry on, all seat stands. Do you think it's that bad, Mark, to put in? Now, listen, we know it's not a camera to tap the net, whatever, right? We know it's a wee bit more sophisticated than that. But surely, in year 2017, going into 2018, we can't afford a camera.
I know what you're saying, but as much as we'd all like to see it, I think clubs have got more pressing matters. And there's some clubs they'll be out there struggling to pay their staff sometimes. I think they would rather put the money towards that than a camera.
Okay, thanks to John and Provan Mill. We'll get the answers to the full-time teaser coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
The guys are trying this full-time teaser sent in by Chris Thornbury. We're looking for players in the SPL era from the home nations who scored three or more hat-tricks, 9 players. So they've already got Chris Boyd, John Hartson, Anthony Stokes, Gary Hooper and Kenny Miller. Just to give you guys at home a bit of a snapshot, a behind the scenes look at what I'm dealing with in here on a Thursday night. So there's the question: 9 players from the home nations. Mark Wilson turns to me in the break and says, Mark De Vries.
Oh jeez, that's right. That's what I did. Ah, see, I get confused.
And this, by the way, was hot on the heels of him asking about Scott McDonald as well. So yeah. Have some sympathy for me.
I get confused.
Poor me dealing with these names.
We've got two more. And Mark, Mark, he's pulled an absolute Christmas cracker.
I'll decide.
I'll go for one of my favourite players of all time at Motherwell, Michael Higdon.
Michael Higdon, good shout. You got 4 in his time across various clubs in the SPL.
Mark, this is a belt.
Rod Wallace.
I like that belt from you. Well done. Yeah. You've redeemed yourself.
Thank you.
You thought Mark De Vries was from the home nations, but you've got Rod Wallace. He got 3 as well. So that means there's only 2 players still to get.
Oh, I've got them.
I don't think so. A bit of transfer news today. Aberdeen securing the return of Niall McGinn. He's not one of the players, remember. So former Celtic player, he'd also been wanted by Hearts and Hibs in recent times after ending a brief spell in South Korea. But Aberdeen confirmed today, 30-year-old, I think it's a 3.5-year deal. So that's quite a commitment for a player of that age. Not that he's particularly old. What do we make of that sign?
I think it's a great signing for Aberdeen. I think he served the club really well when he was there. Surprised, I thought everything was pointing towards him going to Hibs. Just, I know he was at a game there one time, but I heard Derek McInnes come out, I think it was after the St Johnson game, and said how highly he thought of Niall and how much he would love him at the club. So maybe Aberdeen have just went that wee extra mile, and plus he's familiar with the club. Sometimes that speaks a lot.
Good signing, Gordon. Good bit of business. You're right, Mark. He knows the club. He knows the manager.
I mean, you can take it. Right, you can take it, Gordon, there. That you know they've missed him. That's fairly obvious. They feel that they've missed him because they've gone and gotten back.
Yes, I have, and I think they've missed Johnny Hayes as well. Unfortunately, he had a bad injury in Tuesday. We wish him well. But I think that's a good boost for a dressing room to see someone who achieved a lot at Aberdeen, played very well for them, was a big player for them, a big game player at times. To walk back into the dressing room, I think that's a good boost for Aberdeen.
Every team in the world wants to come out of the January window stronger than they went in. Do we think, is that the type of signing that changes things towards the top of the table? Is it now over to whoever it may be, whoever you think the closest rivals are, whether it's Rangers or Celtic or Hearts or Hibs, and say, oh, hold on, Aberdeen just got stronger?
I don't think it's over to Celtic. I don't think Celtic come into that equation, Gordon. I think it's over.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, they've got a gap at the top at the moment.
And they've got money, obviously, plenty that they can go out and strengthen in areas where Brendan Rodgers feels that he has to strengthen, depending who departs from Celtic Park. That's a big question mark as well. But I think that, you know, I don't think it'll be Derek McInnes's only bit of business. So I think that teams like Hearts, maybe Hibs with Neil Lennon there, Rangers obviously have got to go out and strengthen. I think we'll get a clearer picture nearer the end of the transfer window rather at the beginning of it.
Well, it was a 1-0 win for Aberdeen against Partick Thistle last night, so it's a result which leaves Partick Thistle again back to the bottom. Things are getting quite tight in various parts of the league. Let's hear from both managers then, starting with Derek McInnes.
I thought no doubt we deserve to win the game, but you know, I think that we had to fight for everything we got, work hard for it. I think we anticipated Partick, you know, playing the way they did, coming up here and being difficult to beat. I watched them play against Celtic last week, and it took a brilliant shot Armstrong goal to break the deadlock. We came out to try and start the game on the front foot and try and bring that speed and tempo to the game, and I thought we moved them about and we created a few opportunities.
That was Derek McInnes obviously winning the game last night. What about Thistle boss Alan Archibald then?
Yeah, the first half was better than the second. I thought the first 20 minutes we dealt with Aberdeen. We knew they were going to have a real goal at the start. We dealt with that. We grew into the game with a couple of half chances. A wee bit of belief was coming into it. So, you know, delighted with that. The defending, for the most part, was very, very good. We dealt with the movement of Aberdeen, and they're good players. Disappointing when the goal comes from a throw-in. There's nothing fantastic about that. And Aberdeen's part, we've got to defend that better. To defend the way we did for the most part and then let them in at a throw-in is a real disappointment.
While the score is only 1-0, you've always got a wee chance, haven't you?
Yeah, look, that was always the game plan. Make yourselves hard to beat, grow into the game, try and get the fans on their back. We got to that kind of 30-minute mark, and there was that little bit of belief and a wee bit of rumble for the stands as well. But we just didn't get going the second half. I think that was certainly disappointing on their part. Whether that was down to Aberdeen being better, we didn't really have a flow to the game the second half.
Not a hugely surprising result. I think that's probably fair. It's a game Aberdeen would have expected to win. Most people would. It was just the one. That wasn't a heavy one for Partick Thistle. I'm not sure if we did we learn anything particularly new from that one last night?
Well, I don't know about last night. Well, what you do learn is how important it is to have a happy club and a settled club. I'm talking about Aberdeen. You know, it just goes to show you when all that speculation about Derek McInnes, they just went off the boil a wee bit. But since everything's settled down, Aberdeen are right back in track again, look strong again. And we just touched on there, they've added another experienced player who knows the club back into their squad. That strengthens them even further.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the table after last night's results, Gordon, with a 1-1 draw between Ross County and St Johnston as well. We know that the Hamilton Kilmarnock game was off. So, I mean, Thistle, it certainly is tight. You know, they're levelling points with Ross County, albeit they're bottom. And then the other result from an Aberdeen perspective, they maintain that 3-point lead that they have over Rangers at the top. So this is why the festive period tends to be so important, because there's so many games in quick succession and, you know, things can change very quickly.
Yeah, they can, Gordon. If you look at the top half, all Aberdeen can do is keep winning their games, because it's a race to finish second, whether it be Aberdeen, Rangers, or maybe even Hibs sneaking in there. At the bottom is a different pressure, and every point's a prisoner. And Owen Coyle going a goal behind at home, not in the greatest run, sitting at the bottom of the league before they kicked off. And, you know, showed a bit of fighting spirit, get back in, got a valuable point, which lifts them off the bottom of the league, albeit in goal difference, and puts the pressure on to Partick Thistle. But I think that there's a few teams getting dragged into that, and that leaving itself out. And teams like Partick Thistle and Ross County, yeah, they can get into a transfer window and try and strengthen their team, but they're really gambling, because they've not got a lot of money to get in and buy quality. They're just hoping the players that they bring in can give the club a little bit of a lift, and they're better than what they've got.
Okay, we're working towards the end of this full-time teaser. We're looking for the 9 players from the home nations. We've included Republic of Ireland, who scored 3 or more hat-tricks in the SPL era. So that's 98 to 2013. We've only got 2 to go. We've already got Boyd, Hartson, Higden, Stokes, Hooper, Miller, Wallace. Any advance on those?
Never. I'm struggling. Are you going?
Gary O'Connor?
No.
Great shout.
Are you pleased with that shout, were you?
No, wasn't can't, quite
can't have been too pleased. Can't have been too pleased. It's not on my list.
No.
So we've got two that's to get. I'm wondering if we're moving towards
Clue time.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, one predominantly Aberdeen. Aberdeen's what you think when you hear this guy.
Robbie Winters.
Yes, well done. Obviously gave quick. You obviously gave you too
Robbie
big a clue.
Winter, I thought Dundee United were Robbie Winters.
No, Aberdeen, anyway.
I was going to say Dundee United as well, but just Aberdeen was
the
goalie.
That's right, he took a bit of a spelling as well, didn't he? So you needing clue for the last one as well?
Yeah, I've no chance.
Yeah, you sure? Struggling.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a former Rangers player. He also played for one of the Edinburgh sides as well. Harsh, one of the Ayrshire sides as well.
Never played.
Okay, I'll tell you that Hearts was one of them. Cool. So it wasn't Hibs.
Kevin Kyle.
Gary McSweegan.
I'm not even giving you credit for that because I gave you too big a clue. It was Gary McSweegan. Well done, Gary McSweegan. So that's us. We've got the nine players. Thanks to Chris Thornbury. And remember, you can send your teasers in full time at Clyde1.com. Thanks to Mark Wilson and Gordon DL for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. A massive, massive weekend of football lies in wait, and your big preview starts tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. I'm sure you've missed Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson over Christmas. I'm sure you have. Well, they'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, and we'll look ahead to all the weekend's action.